We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Happy Monday. Happy Monday indeed. I'm excited for today's show. Well, you know, we're always excited for the show. But it's great to start the week with Dave Spano from Annex Wealth Management. Dave always sets a good tone with his insights and analysis on local and national business and money issues. So that's coming up in a bit. Later in the show, the winner of the Harvard Business School of Wisconsin Leadership Award joins us. Austin Ramirez is the CEO of Husco and will receive this prestigious annual award later this month. But this week, there's some big announcements coming, and he'll preview them with us right here on The Upswing. But first, as we do each and every morning, especially on this glorious Monday, let's go to Up.
Now it's time for the
2 Up
on The Upswing.
First up, Detroit is back. I'm starting to get a little jealous of Detroit. Maybe you are too. I don't know. The Lions, and it's downtown. They're on the move. And it's a really good reminder that civic pride, a passionate group of people that are true believers in a city, a hardworking mayor, hardworking business people, and maybe sometimes, honestly, kind of hitting rock bottom, matter. This is from the New York Times over the weekend. Detroit has been obviously widely viewed as one of the most troubled and seemingly unfixable examples of decay in America. But to many, it's coming around big time. At one point, 40% of its streetlights didn't work. The city lost two-thirds of its population, from more than 2 million people in the late 50s to just over 600,000 in recent years. The downtown was dotted and boarded up with office towers, apartments, buildings were left to rot. But the Super Bowl came in 2006, and organizers kind of painted over storefronts and looked to the future. Since then, Detroit's comeback seems to be gaining serious momentum and spreading to other neighborhoods outside of the core area of downtown. In the last 9 years, the city has provided grants to help more than 170 small businesses open, most of them in the outlying areas, a true sign of economic optimism that would have been unimaginable a decade ago in Detroit. More than 35,000 vacant and dilapidated homes that have been long depressed have come back to life, and a recent report by the University of Michigan estimated that the value of black-owned homes in Detroit has increased by nearly $3 billion from 2014 to 2022. Big signs in progress in Detroit. Also, it's not only locked in on its past, but it's moving to the future with electric vehicles and a new facility called the New Lab that's focused on mobility-focused electric cars and electric vehicles right in the core, right in the heart of its downtown. Now, from Detroit to Florida, let's keep an eye on citrus prices this week. Oranges and some citrus trees are lying useless all across Florida and the groves. The industry got further bad news on Friday as the U.S. Department of Agriculture's first forecast for the 2024-25 season showed Florida orange production falling 16% from a year earlier to only 15 million boxes, the lowest level since 1933. That figure doesn't even account for Milton and is near certain to be reduced later. Something to keep an eye on as we move through the week, as you get your grocery list ready. Citrus prices probably rising because of the impact of the hurricanes and the weather in the south. Coming up next, we'll explore the money, the markets, and more with Dave Spano, CEO of Annex Wealth Management. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ.
The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by the CEO of Annex Wealth Management, Dave Spano. Dave, happy Monday, as always.
Happy
Thanks
Monday
for taking
to you.
Time.
Yeah, love it. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So, as I just mentioned in the two-up, you know, sometimes it's hard to really gauge the economic impact of hurricanes and weather that doesn't happen to us here in Wisconsin. What should we brace for, if anything, given the recent hurricanes?
Yeah, I think you were started to go down the right line, that citrus prices will be higher, sugar cane prices will be higher. But I got to tell you a funny story. I was fishing with this old head up in northern Wisconsin, and he's been around a long time, and he were throwing casts, and he goes, you know, this thing, this El Nino, is the same thing we have in turnover. And I don't want to get too deep in the weeds for the non-musky fisher people, but at the end of the year, the warm water and the cold water flip. And he said that's the same thing that La Nina is doing. These strong trade winds cause this upswelling, and cooler water comes to the top, causing hurricanes. And son of a gun, if I didn't look that up, and the old head was certainly on it. But so there is an effect, and he said that's one of the reasons why you're having these hurricane seasons. But as you pointed out, Milton struck Florida, and citrus and sugarcane prices were higher. We've got an office down there, and the surge was 5 feet of water. That ain't no joke, as they say, coming down the street. So and Helene was right before that, and that's going to affect cotton and poultry and pecans and all of these things. And there's even a major IV solutions plant down there, and that's going to affect some U.S. hospitals. So there is an economic impact, not just those who lose their property down in southern Florida and in the Carolinas.
Yeah, and obviously above and beyond the consumer product impact is the insurance, to consider. Obviously, the premiums and what companies are paying out, that could have effect for years to come.
And the laws that are different in Florida as they are in Wisconsin and Illinois, so there is a reason to watch that carefully. And I think you're going to see more and more companies probably not insure or reinsure that are down in Florida. So that's going to be part of the conversation. So we're going to watch this carefully. And, of course, to all of those our friends and loved ones that were, interrupted, we're watching for them and praying for them.
Yeah, for sure. So what are your thoughts on the general health of the U.S. consumer right now? Any concerning trends with escalating debt or spending patterns that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. It's kind of a mixed bag right now. Credit card debt is certainly going up, but it's not torrid. Delinquencies have been rising, but usually they're going up. There's something that I pay attention to, and it's called the average everyday man's inflation. And I think that's what hasn't gotten a lot of attention. So it shows that PPI and CPI and all these terms that we like to talk about have come down, Jeff. But what we're seeing is people's incomes haven't caught up. And so their spendable income is not as good as it was in previous administrations. And that is the reason why I think that the current administration is not getting credit for some good economic news. Obviously, we haven't had a recession. We've had positive GDP numbers. Earnings season is going to come out big time this week. And we're going to see, 40 big time companies come out this week. Mm-hmm. So all of that is positive. But when it affects your pocketbook and people vote their pocketbook, that's what we're starting to see.
Yeah, yeah. What are some of the early forecasts? Obviously, Halloween is just a couple weeks away, and that's a big spender for a lot of people. But then, the holidays are right around the corner, too.
Yeah, you think about Thanksgiving. It's late this year. It's falling all the way onto November 28th. So that's only 27 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Last year was 32 days. So there's less of a spending season, and that shortened window could mean fewer sales. And in fact, this morning I was listening to one of the broadcasts, and they said we expect that spending will be down 5%. And so that's something to watch very carefully. And the shoppers are under pressure anyways. We've got the uncertainty of the election. We've got the uncertainty of what's happening with geopolitical uncertainty around the world. So I think this is going to follow through, and you're going to see spending down slightly, and you're going to see that come out of retail spending.
Yep. Okay, when we come back, China prepares a stimulus or does it. And yeah. I want to talk a little bit about one of my conversations at a bar on Friday night and get your insight. Dave Spano, CEO from Annex Wealth Management, joins us. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WGMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman from the WTMJ Talk and Text Line, which is 855-616-1620. From the 262, building material prices are already up. So remodeling, new construction, fire restoration, and consequently, insurance costs are here and climbing as well. Indeed, for sure. Good observation from the 262. Always appreciate Talk and Text Line comments. So, Dave, as you look at China, they moved to kind of further ramp up support for the economy, promised some stimulus to the, especially to the slumping property sector and local governments that are in debt. But you know, officials, I don't know. As you look, how does it affect the U.S. economy? What China says it may or may not do.
Yeah, I think you're right on. Those two sectors, that's exactly how I would answer that question. The property sector has been in a downturn, and they bail out these indebted local governments. So that's one thing for local China. But you can see the conversations about tariffs, and both sides are talking mm-hmm. about tariffs. And what does that really look like? Is it really a negotiating tactic? Do they really get impacted? And if they do, and if Trump wins, and he does implement those, does that mean that a lot of that production goes to India, for example? Mm. And so there are always opportunities, and we always continue to look for those opportunities. So, but if you look at what's happening with China, we pay attention to what happens with the currency, right? So they're, right. Their specific dollar, the yuan, is determined by legislature. And so that's called the Ministry of Finance. So that's unlike what we do, where, the markets really kind of control what's happening with the dollar, especially in light of all of the debt that we have in this country. So we watch that. We watch gold. Gold has been rallying. It tells us a lot about what's happening, who could win the election. And so we look at that. We look at Europe, what's happening with France and Italy and their deficits. All of this does come together, Steve. There's no question about that because of the fact that we're in an interconnected world.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so speaking of interconnected worlds, a Friday night, it was a beautiful night here in Wisconsin. Wife and I took a walk around the neighborhood, ended up at a local tavern, sat and caught up on the week. And
well, give them some love, man.
It was Draft and Vessel right on Oakland in Shorewood. Great place. They're actually creating a new location right here downtown.
The Village, isn't that the Village Bar right there in Sherwood?
Yeah, it used to be. Well, the Village Pub used to be, is now Cloud Red, so it's right down the block from there.
They have
multiple locations around the area. Really a great place.
But by the way, that is how, if people give me directions, they don't say turn at the gas station. They say, turn at that second bar on the right.
Yes, indeed. That's how we talk in Wisconsin. That's the way to go. So We sat down, and my wife was wonderful. She could kind of see the distress on this woman's face next to us. And we just started talking. And she said she just had a really challenging week. Her mom is early stage dementia. She's looking for places for her mother, kind of working with her father and her brothers and sisters. And just the whole, you could just see the overwhelm in her face. And mainly when she started talking dollars and cents, she was throwing out numbers of $8,000 to $10,000 a month to get her into the right care, the right memory care facility, and then looking some of those places asking for 1 year up front, 2 years up front, and it was mind blowing in terms of the cost for me. And obviously, as you talk with your clients each and every day, what are some of the strategies for managing these healthcare costs that are coming for all of us?
Yeah, generally when we talk about conversations at bar, that's generally my core competency. But no, seriously, this is something we just went through, Jeff, and with my own mother, and so and it was home hospice, and when that happens, it's more than $8,000 to $9,000 a month. It was significantly more than that, and it just made me think about, you know, what, where we are in this country with health care costs. But, you know, health care costs and insurance are a key part of everyone's financial plan. So that's exactly right. So we go through that. A typical age, a typical couple, age 65, might need $300,000 set aside to invest health for health care and through retirement. So that is something we all always talk about. You know, we talk about the first part of retirement are the go-go years, right? You know, where you're going and you're traveling, you're doing all those things. And then the second part is the slow-go years. And then finally are the no-go years, right? You really aren't moving around too much. But start early. Use health savings accounts, HSAs, the great tools for health care costs. You can contribute some pre-tax money and medical expenses and use some of that on the tax-free. I mean, they're triple tax advantage. So there's really an attractive way to start to use HSA. Optimize, secondly, optimize your Medicare benefits. You know, there's Medicare Part A, which is the hospital side. Part B is the medical insurance, and Part D is prescription. All of these, you know, and there's gap insurance as well. So, you know, talk to a Medicare specialist. You know, talk about, explore, you know, long-term care insurance. All of these things, you know, are costly. There's no question about it. What can you do? Obviously, maintain a healthy lifestyle, get regular exercise, keep a balanced diet. All of these things, you know, for certain, we'll try to eliminate some of these costs. But if I can, before before you throw me off the air here, we've got a webinar coming up this week with my friend Vince Ventrano. So, year-end tax planning, prioritizing your to-do list for 2024. Go to annexwealth.com. Hit the backslash and hit events button. And Vince and I and one of my teammates, Eric Strom, are going to do that this week.
All right. That should be great. Always wonderful insights there. My next guest is Austin Ramirez. Some big opportunities this week. Yes, wonderful human being. Do you have a question or two I should ask him?
He's so involved as the chair of the MMAC and everything he's done with public education and what he's done with his own family. And what, I mean, this is something that's outstanding. Sure, to tee that up. What they've done. It's just a great experience.
Very good. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. It's a big week for our next guest on Thursday. The Association of Equipment Manufacturers, AEM, brings its national bus tour to Waukesha, to Husco. AEM represents more than 1,000 companies with more than 200 product lines in agriculture and construction-related industry sectors worldwide. The tour, as we've talked about a lot on this show, October is Manufacturing Month. We'll share the importance of manufacturing in the U.S. economy, highlighting not only the products Husco develops and delivers, but highlighting its community connections to recruitment, retention, the economy, education, and more. With more than $500 million in annual sales in manufacturing locations in three states and five countries, Husco makes hydraulic controls and other components that go into many of our vehicles, not only gas vehicles, electric vehicles, all the above. And CEO Austin Ramirez joins us this morning. Austin, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
It's great to be here, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So just first up, I want to talk a little on electric vehicles. What don't people understand about electric vehicles and kind of the network that's being built across the country?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I drive an electric pickup truck, a Rivian pickup truck, and I think it's great. Yeah. But the problem is, you know, a couple days a month, I got to make a long trip, and an electric vehicle is just not right for that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the biggest issue with EVs today. And obviously building out the charging infrastructure helps that. There's lots of technology going into, you know, batteries and battery packs to extend range. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we're participating in some components in the car that aren't related to the battery pack, but make the vehicle more efficient so it can go further on every charge.
Hmm. Yeah, good. And I've had electric vehicle for the last 6-8 years too, but mainly use it for shorter trips, Shorewood to downtown, and it's been incredibly efficient and wonderful for me. But it will be really interesting to see, you know, how the network continues to expand and the adoption comes. So electric or not, what do you see in terms of the driving experience and how it will change for all of us in the next 5 years?
Well, EVs are super fun to drive, so I think they've got a leg up there. you know, it's important to realize that electric vehicles are only about 77% of new car sales in the U.S. today. So internal combustion and hybrid vehicles are going to continue to be really important. And, you know, as we think about, you know, half our business is in the automotive sector, you know, almost all of it in passenger cars. Mm-hmm. And we want to really not have to guess about how fast EVs are going to grow, how fast internal combustion engines are going to go down. Yeah. We want to have products across the range so that we can grow and thrive regardless of what the new vehicle mix is.
Yeah. And obviously a lot of practical innovation coming to automobiles, self-driving cars, Waymo and Tesla are showcasing in larger markets. What are your thoughts on self-driving?
Well, I've got a 12-year-old son, and I keep telling myself, I hope they figure out this self-driving thing before he turns 16, because I remember what a knucklehead I was behind the wheel. But, you know, I think we're a ways out yet having truly autonomous vehicles. You know, Elon Musk, who is arguably the best entrepreneur in history, has been saying for 10 years that self-driving cars are 2 years away. He just said the same thing a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I'm not holding my breath. I do think in terms of practical innovation, we're seeing some great steps forward in advanced driver assistance, automated highway driving. Those sorts of features are going to make cars safer and mm-hmm. you know, more valuable to users. And I think that's great. And I think we are making progress on those.
All right. What are you looking forward to at the Thursday event to showcase your company's growth?
Well, you know, I just think it's awesome that AEM is doing this event. You know, manufacturing is so cool. And it's a big part of our economy here in Wisconsin. And, you know, I don't think people realize what modern manufacturing looks like. Mm-hmm. And if you like robotics, if you like artificial intelligence, if you like advanced data analytics and vision systems, I mean, that's all the stuff we're working on at Husco. And we're really excited to showcase it.
Very good. When we come back, I want to touch a little bit on your work at the Democracy Foundation, nonpartisan political reform organization. Get your thoughts on Final Five voting and more. Austin Ramirez, CEO at Husco, joins us. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, Austin Ramirez. Appreciate you taking your time this morning to join us in studio. So as you look at your company's growth and more kind of on a bigger scale, the region as a whole, what strategies has kind of Metropolitan Milwaukee used to better recruit and retain not only skilled workers, but professionals of all types?
Yeah, you know, I think Milwaukee is the best place in the country to build a manufacturing and engineering company. And we do a lot of hiring at the professional level, meaning engineers from local schools, MSOE, UWM, Marquette, a little further abroad to Madison, Minnesota, mm-hmm. Purdue, Iowa. And we got great schools, and we got a lot of kids that grew up either working on a farm or turning wrenches. And that combination of academic smarts and kind of practical experience, we found to be a big part of our secret sauce to success. And then, you know, we got a lot of manufacturing history in the region too. So, mm-hmm. you know, today with all the technology, the shop floor jobs tend to be a little bit easier. They're a little simpler. Hmm. And we're doing a lot more incorporation of technology. And the hardest jobs to fill today are those folks with, you know, 2-year degrees who know how to program a robot and want to work with their hands. And those folks are in extremely high demand. And we have to get the most creative in terms of figuring out how to recruit and retain those people.
And it seems like, maybe compared to when I was in elementary school, the jobs of the future, if you will, being showcased earlier and earlier in the academic process, which is good for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're now recruiting kids out of high school that we want to come and work for us and get some work experience, and we'll pay for them to go to school. And it's all about how do you get access to the talent earlier and how do you, you know, create an environment where they want to stay with you.
Yeah. All right. So you are co-chair of the Democracy Foundation, nonpartisan political reform organization that's committed to Final Five voting. What's your passion here? And then explain to us what Final Five voting is.
Yeah, sure. So I got the opportunity to take a sabbatical in 2016, and I worked in the White House for a year.
Okay.
Half of that time was with President Obama. Half of that time was with President Trump. And I walked away with a couple of big takeaways. One was that I never wanted to run for office. It's a terrible job. But two is that even between these two very different presidents, there was a lot of overlap in what they thought the right things to do for our country were. Mm-hmm. And as I studied the issue more, I found that we've got tremendous consensus in America on how we solve even really hard, contentious problems like abortion and immigration and guns and taxes. You know, the extremes are pretty far apart, but most Americans actually agree on the sort of things we can do to, you know, make this country better.
Yeah.
And Democracy Found is an organization that advocates for Final Five voting. The biggest thing that Final Five voting does is that it removes the focus from the primary election, which is the election most politicians care most about. That's how they keep their job in the primary. Right. Only about 10% of voters vote in the primary. We want to make the most important election the general election, where everybody comes out to vote. And we want to, you know, Final Five lets people have a choice between not just two candidates, but five candidates. Hmm. And they can either just vote for their favorite or they can, you know, rank them one through five. And you wind up with a candidate that's got a broad consensus of voters. And more importantly, you wind up with an incentive scheme that rewards our politicians for doing things that make general election voters happy. And that's what we need to do, in my perspective, to move this country forward.
Yeah. And Democracy Found is looking to kind of get past, like you said, the partisan gridlock and the craziness of contempt. Are you hopeful that that change can come?
Yeah. You know, status quo has got a lot of momentum. Yeah. So we're working hard at it. There's a number of states that this fall will have Final Five or Final Four voting on their ballot referendums. In Wisconsin, we don't have a popular referendum process to do something like this, but we're working with legislators. We've been very diligent from day one to make sure we've got folks on both sides of the aisle. And, you know, we're chipping away at it.
So as listeners, if you want to embrace the collaborate or die mentality, which I think is incredibly important to do, how can people get involved in Democracy Found?
Yeah, you can go to democracyfound.com and, you know, join the movement.
All right. Very good. When we come back, you have a big groundbreaking this week. Austin Ramirez, CEO of Husco, joins us. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Manufacturing month is October. A lot of manufacturing goes into making our homes. If your shower and or tub space is looking like it could use an update, WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give away a tub or shower conversion. This is your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do, you take a picture of your shower, your tub space, and then you text it to Creepy. To the WTMJ talk and text line, it's 855-616-1620. You submit your picture, and you could win a full conversion from our friends at Sidex. For contest rules, visit our website at WTMJ.com. All right. Education, manufacturing, moving the community forward. It's all about family. Austin Ramirez, your family has made a significant impact on education in greater Milwaukee. I want to ask how you scale what you've done at Aug Prep to the entire city and maybe the metropolitan area, and then specifically talk a little bit about what's happening on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, on Wednesday, we've got a groundbreaking for our second campus. Today, Aug Prep has a campus on the south side with about 2,200 kids.
Okay.
And we're opening our north side campus, or we're groundbreaking the north side campus this week, and we'll open in the fall of 26. And when both those schools are at capacity, we're going to have over 5,000 kids being served by Aug Prep, which is, you know, roughly 5% of the kids in Milwaukee.
And Aug Prep North is the former site of Cardinal Stritch University, where I got my MBA years ago. I served the community really well. So it's great to see it reimagined into kind of the next generation of learners.
Absolutely. We've got a lot of legacy to live into in that space.
So what will happen at that space in terms of what's being revitalized?
Yeah, so we're going to really create a mirror of what we've done on the south side. So it'll be a K-12 school. It's got tremendous athletic facilities, tremendous academic facilities. And, you know, we're a Christian school, so we're focused on serving the whole child, serving the family, and developing not only academic excellence, but character and integrity. And, you know, hopefully raising up future generations of our city's leaders.
Yeah. And as you look at education as a whole in the area, how do you scale and assist MPS, especially as your role at the MMAC?
You know, I think the secret to success at Aug Prep and at all the high-performing schools in Milwaukee is that they're laser-focused on the kids. And there's a lot of adult issues that come into the education debate. Mm-hmm. And those are important issues, and they need to be addressed. But if we want to succeed, the number one priority has got to be serving our kids, achieving academic excellence. And unfortunately, at too many schools, we're not doing that in Milwaukee today.
Yeah. And kind of going back to Husco a little bit, how are you adapting to some of the challenges like inflation and some of the global trade disruptions that are happening? How are you every day kind of looking at what's happening across the world?
Yeah, there's a lot of change. You know, I'd say the last 5 years have been probably the most disruptive from a global trade perspective that I've ever seen. We, as you mentioned in the intro, we do business all around the world. So we do about half our business here in the U.S., but half our business is overseas in India, in China, in Europe. And I'd say the combination of tariffs and COVID and, you know, shipping issues like not being able to get containers through the Straits of Hormuz today, these are big challenges. And we've had to really think hard about how do we maintain our competitive edge in terms of having a low-cost supply base, but also make sure we're resilient to any sort of supply shock that could come through.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, our customers are counting on us to deliver perfect quality on time, every time, and that's our focus.
Yeah. As you look at your leadership style, not only working with students, but your team each and every day, give us an example of how empathy has influenced your leadership style.
Oh, that's a great question. I would say that empathy isn't my core competency. I find it really easy to be driven and determined and persevere. I have to work really hard on things like empathy and kindness, generosity and gentleness. So I work at that. I'm trying to get a little bit better every day. I think it's super important, in building a positive culture and trying to do my best.
That's great. And that's what we're all about at the Upswing. And it's about community. It's about commerce. And it's about moving the community forward. So we appreciate all you and your family do. Best of luck this week with the groundbreaking and the big event at Husco. Austin Ramirez joining us today.